Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. Well, hello, everyone listening out there to our podcast, and our audience is revved up today. They are very lively, and maybe they've had a vacation. This is summertime, and so maybe they're all rest and relaxed, but I'm glad they joined us today, and I'm glad that my guest today, Scott Sachs, is going to join us today. So I'm going to introduce Scott. He is the president of SJS Solutions, LLC. He has over 25 years of experience leading and growing large multi-site contact centers in a number of highly regulated industries. He's also a highly accomplished, well-respected senior-level executive who provides specialized consulting solutions in the area of customer service, contact and call operations, and he's consistently and successfully transformed and grows world-class customer service organizations, and he thrives on working with organizations that are in an inflection point in their customer service lifecycle by focusing on three key areas: leveraging technology tools to drive efficient operations, motivating staff to personally connect with customers, and establishing meaningful metrics to drive effective business results. So welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Nancy, for that very impressive introduction.
Well, it is. You have an impressive background, impressive credentials, so, you know, the facts don't lie here.
I appreciate that very much. Thanks.
Yeah. So I thought we would start with the very first key area that you focus on is leveraging technology tools to drive efficient operations. And I know you've written articles and blog posts about this, but, you know, and technology is, you know, that's constantly changing. That's the new normal. And I talk to a lot of call centers out there that are really struggling between, oh, everybody wants to be, you know, omni-channel, multi-channel. You know, how do we support this? We've got sunk costs into some of these legacy systems, and you know, I really feel for them because I think the world thinks all call centers today are just a bunch of bots and chat bots that are responding to everybody's calls. But the fact of the matter is, very few of them have incorporated some kind of bot technology. You know, they're still transitioning into that world. So I'm kind of curious from your standpoint and when you help your customers, what's the kind of top technologies that they're struggling with and trying to figure out?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, just to, you know, state that, you know, technology is an enabler. And a lot of companies I work with think it's the solution. So they all believe that, you know, whatever technology is, whether it's bots, it's contact routing, you know, once they get it in, you know, the operation is going to run flawlessly. So, you know, even before we start selecting technologies, got to step way back and say, you know, what are you trying to achieve in the business? Mm-hmm. What are the requirements? Right. What are the needs of the business? And then when we get into the technology, I mean, a lot of my clients are still struggling with, you know, I'll call it contact routing. You know, it used to be the ACD, because there's always voice contacts. But now, you know, how do you integrate all these other channels of communication into a routing system to make it just more efficient? I mean, if you think about it, when you're a multi-channel organization, you get phone calls, you get emails, you get SMS, you know, you have to move your agents to the work. And if you really think about it, that's a very, very inefficient process. And you also don't get very good metrics. So getting you know, the right platform in place where you get the contacts that are routed to the agents, again, regardless of the channel, you have the routing rules set up, you have, you know, just improved agent utilization, and you also have now some intelligence to, you know, how long different transactions take beyond just the phone call, what your true volumes are. So I think, you know, a lot of the centers I'm working with are still struggling with that, and the whole cloud premise-based, you know, decision.
Right.
And you hit it on the head before, you know, some of these companies have made capital-intensive investments.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to move away and show the financial justification because, you know, there is a crossing point of, you know, is cloud more expensive than premise at some point in time in the life cycle? And if you have that money invested already, it just accelerates that. So it's the cloud premise. It's getting the routing systems in place. The other place is, you know, workforce management. You know, as companies and contact centers get beyond a certain size and scope, maybe I'll say 50 people, you know, Excel spreadsheets don't work anymore in paper and pencil. So they're looking at workforce management as another, a key solution. There's a lot of talk about bots. I have a very mixed feeling about bots. It's sort of like, AI. It's like everyone's saying, let's do AI. Let's do and they think it's, again, another one of these great solutions. Mm-hmm. And there's really a concern if it's, ready for prime time. I always like to take my example of, and I hate to quote something like a Siri on your, if you have an iPhone, that, as a consumer, if Siri works for me 7 out of 10 times, I'm okay with that. That's my expectation.
Right.
But when you're in a customer service world, 7 out of 10 doesn't cut it. And again, so I think, a lot of these people who've read the articles of AI and it's going to make people go away, they're jumping the game quite a bit. I mean, there is some AI out there right now. It's great for, I think, good for the written word. It's not good for the verbal word. But that's a hot one. And I think I spend time trying to slow people down of, This is not the solution yet. Get your basic stuff in first.
Oh yeah, because I volunteered to be this thing called AI Day Chicago, and we were putting panels together and getting experts together. I said, well, we're forgetting one very important panel. The guy that runs the show, he's like, oh, who's that? I said, well, it's bots. We need to put together a panel of bots.
Right.
And so I put Siri on the panel, Alexa was on the panel, and Google Voice. And we asked each of them the same question. And it was very surprising that when we asked them, what does AI stand for, Siri got it completely wrong. The other two got it right. But, just simple questions that, should be fairly easy for, they're all connected to the Internet, and that's supposedly where they're getting their answers from. But NLP and all those things factor into it. So, so what I was trying to prove is that through AI, a lot of people immediately go to a bot type or a Watson type platform. I said, I'm doing this to prove to you guys it still has a ways to go.
Absolutely.
And point was well taken when, somebody from the audience says, ask them, will you marry me? So there are some very interesting responses. one was like, let's just be friends. So they actually understood the context of the question. But anyway, so go on. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that I see a lot of misperceptions out there as far as how fast it's going to come to the marketplace.
Right. The other one that's out there is, I think, the whole – omni-channel, multi-channel. I actually had a client that had a directive from senior level management of, you must become an omni-channel contact center. And it was like, and meanwhile, again, it was a buzzword that I think someone from senior management read in some period, some article, and they said, I want the label of I'm omni-channel. And I spent a lot of time trying to, describe to them, what omni-channel is, what multi-channel is. And it was interesting because they're call center, the standalone call center, I'll say, was not functioning well. And I said, again, time out, guys. You have to figure out how to run your call center first before you can think about being omnichannel. Because, again, people say, in the future, call centers will go away because there'll be contact centers, there'll be automation. But, if you look at the research, there's still, a majority of the interactions are still going to be calls and and maybe emails. And so, while we're all getting excited about this omnichannel and all these new technologies, if you don't get that basic stuff right, how do you pick up a phone and say hello, how to connect with a customer, how to turn around an email. Again, a lot of sexy technologies, but it's more for a label and to say, this is what I can do.
Well, just managing your queue, you can't managing your queue and you've got people on hold, you're going to lose them all. They're going to hang up after 10 minutes or less.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So those are some of the technology things that I'm seeing, and one of the technologies I'm excited about, and I think it's starting to grow, is the whole area of speech analytics. I think that's a huge opportunity,
and
the good thing is it's moving towards a bigger corporate viewpoint. Again, I haven't run a call center for about 5-6 years. I've been consulting since then. But one of the things back then is we wanted any kind of analytics type software. We had to justify with savings in the contact center. So I had to say, I'm going to reduce my volumes. I have to reduce my AHT to make $1 million investment in some analytics software. Where nowadays, I think that we're beyond that. That, if you can take analytics software, and one of my favorites is, take 100 calls where a customer said, I'm going to cancel. and send it to the head of marketing, or send it, you know, to the someone 100 calls of where my product is broken is into engineering. Now all of a sudden, you know, you have a justification of having the engineering and marketing departments invest in this software to be able to understand what the root cause of these issues. Because again, you know, contact centers may get millions of calls a year, but most of them are not driven by the contact center. You know, yes, they make their mistakes and you don't get first contact resolution, but it's usually a breakdown somewhere else. And if you can get these other departments to understand and justify the need for, you know, analytics software to listen to these calls and really get to root cause, it's it just, you know, opens it up. And I think, you know, again, organizations are doing that and starting to see the value of that. It's very, very important.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because now I've got a lot of clients saying we really want to focus on empathy, you know, which was, you know, such a non-tangible. What is that? What does that mean?
Right.
You know, and so now you do have software out there that can actually, you know, instead of just saying, I'm sorry, you're having problems. No, I want to actually hear the tonality of your voice to show that you are sincere, or you're using maybe different words like, you know, wow, I can really understand how frustrating that is versus just constantly, you know, saying, I'm sorry. And I actually had a in a previous company that I owned, I actually had emotion analytics software in there, and that's when people got, you'll tell me what I sound like, what my, you know, what people think I'm, my personality is. I'm like, yeah, absolutely, you know, that's where you really start to leverage technology to have better human to human connections. Versus trying to remove the human out of it and let the machines do all the work.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I agree fully. Yeah. And again, that's it's the human connection. Again, one of the things I love to say is, you know, the agents in the contact center are really the ambassadors of your organization. They are the front line. They're the one who deal with the customers. And you know, you think about what an ambassador means is, you know, goodwill and, you know, all that good stuff. And how do you make them the ambassador in the truest sense versus an order taker or somebody who's just, you know, rushing to get a customer off the phone. So, you know, if you think of your front line as ambassadors, it changed your whole mindset.
Well, not only that, another technology buzz that I see people like, ooh, this new shiny object is virtual reality. And I'm like, wait a minute, virtual reality in a call center. So I said, explain this to me. So I was responding to an RFP for Comcast. And they said, well, you know, if an agent's on the phone, somebody's calling about their router, I want them to be able to, like, pick up the router virtually and move it around in a three-dimensional way. And I'm like, that just seems like overkill to me. I'm sorry. Wouldn't a PDF document that shows you all sides of the router that could be updated really, really fast versus a VR application be just as effective? And so somebody, like you said, somebody read an article and got all excited about this. And I said, and you're going to provide them all with those Oculus headsets while they're sitting at their desk and have their other headset on to talk to the customer. How's that? How's that going to work?
Absolutely.
You know?
or just make the router easier to use. I mean, again, we've complicated products so much, you know, and this, this is also like, you know, again, go back to technology, I'm dating myself, 25, 30 years when everyone said, you know, IVR technology will eliminate the need for a call center. And meanwhile, there are more call centers now than there were 25, 30 years ago because life has gotten complicated and these products have become complicated. And, you know, again, I guess that's some of the beauty of some of these other, you know, again, I'll go back to an iPhone, which is, you know, user-friendly to the most part, not totally, but more so than other products. But, you know, companies have just now integrated different pieces of machinery and equipment and buttons and stuff. And I'm that older generation where I kind of look at it and I call my kids first thing of, you know, what do I do because I have no clue anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's intuitive to them, but not intuitive to us.
No, we have to retrain.
So they're
just
like, well, just swipe this way or do this, you know, and I'm just like, oh, okay, I didn't see that there, or, you know, it's right in front of you, but you can't figure it out because you haven't been exposed to that functionality.
Yeah, it's, you know, retraining people. And, again, you know, that goes back to, you know, the evolution of contact centers. Again, why, you know, calls won't disappear because there is still a large piece of the population who still need the hand-holding, the empathy and the, you know, working with somebody who can make it all happen. So it's just interesting of how the whole content, you know, people perception of the call center or slash contact center where it's going and from whose perspective.
Yeah, so is there a certain, I don't know if you have any stories, you know, you shared the other one, but is there a story around where maybe somebody put something in place and it was blowing up all over the place, and then you stepped in and maybe dissected and said, hey, you just need this, or just, you know, bring in this other tool, and that will help, you know, run things more smoothly. But I don't know if you've had any scenarios like that.
Not specifically those, but again, I have run into enough scenarios where, you know, clients will be using a piece of software like workforce management, and they have all these expectations of what's going to be happening, but again, they haven't figured out their own business processes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mm-hmm. So they're always blaming the software. You know, the software doesn't work. It's not scheduling things where I want, but meanwhile they have, you know, 342 queues with, you know, 14 specializations and, you know, certain hours of operation, and the software will work. I mean, software is software. It's coded. It's
right,
if then
right.
logic. But what they created, and again, they had to go off and figure this out themselves, is they've created such a convoluted infrastructure in their contact center with all these routing rules, and again, you have to think about, you know, what's the marginal benefit of each of these rules. I mean, you know, we all have this thing, especially think back when you're in a center and you're running reports, and all of a sudden, you know, your boss asks you for this report, so you hustle to get the report generated, and now
yes.
you're a producer for the next 10 years, and you never look at it again. You know, it's these one-off situations
right.
where it got escalated right. to the president of the division, and you now have to have the special routing rule. So what I found is, you know, trying to be so detailed that they create these rules, and again, workforce management is a great tool, but the more you layer on complications and stuff, you know, the effectiveness of it goes away. So again, I think, you know,
right,
without
right.
a specific one, I did have a client once who just, the workforce management is just a disaster, but again, it worked as it was supposed to work, as it was programmed, and they just created this goofy, you know, number of queues and routing rules that just blew up everything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like I was chatting with a previous guest on the show, and I said, you know, I've got this great software that can provide all this analytics step by step in a simulation, how an agent can actually conduct a call. You know, so before they can get on the phone, I can break it down just in this minute detail. And he's like, well, it's like, if you threw that at me, I'd say that's the last thing I need is one more big fat report with all this analytics. I'm like, because I'm thinking, well, this is a great feature. Why would you want this? He says, no. He said, I get so many reports thrown at me that, you know, it's just one more would be, you know, a negative impact to my life, not a positive impact, even though I hear what you're saying. You know, it's just going to provide me with insights that I didn't have before.
Right.
So that part's
right.
great. But if you could find some way of presenting it so that it just kind of says, thumbs up, thumbs down, or some way to like really summarize it, you know, that would be much easier.
Yeah, and that's the whole advent of dashboards over the past, you know, 10 years. Because again, you know, I'm going back in my career where we used to get all the ACD reports in the morning, and you used to say, okay, which one do I look at first? Now it is, and now it's, you know, dashboards, and there's, you know, red, you know, yellow, green, or to your thumbs up, thumbs. And you know what? If I have to drill down, I'll click on the field and I'll drill down and see what,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
what Scott and Nancy, and what Scott and Nancy did yesterday, because I want to know what Scott or Nancy did yesterday, but I don't need to know it every day. But yeah, the it's nice that the tools are now there and you can do drill downs and stuff, but yeah, more reports and you know, again, I remember, again, dating myself, we used to go through the 100 reports you receive and get rid of the ones that you haven't looked at in the past, you know, 2 years, and all of a sudden, you know,
right.
90 out of the 100 would go away. So yeah, you don't need more information. You need the right information.
Yeah. Now, with technology in place, are you seeing other like call centers saying, well, okay, it's a tight job market. I've gone through the pool of potential employees in this geographic area. Are you seeing more of them doing virtual agents these days?
Yes. Work at home is you got to go.
Okay.
You got to go that way at this point. You know, one, because the unemployment numbers are, you know, so low, and what you're getting now are people who really don't want to work. I hate to say it, but they're not there, or they're gonna, if they're working for you, they're gonna move in, you know, for a dime extra or whatever it is.
Yep.
So seeing a lot more of that because you have to, start attracting a new labor pool. It's the at-home parent. It's the disabled who can't, get out of the home. It just, one, it offers a whole new universe of people who can help you, who may be limited in commuting or whatever. It gives you, new creativity with schedules because, again, no one's
Yeah.
going to, very few people are going to commute on a split shift. But man, if you're home
Right.
and you can do a split shift, you can do certain hours, whatever it is. So yeah, I think one is it just opens up, the whole labor pool. But again, where companies are struggling and they got to really step back is it's a different management process in office. I mean, maybe. You know, 80% of it is parallel and is a best practice across both. But, hiring the right people because a lot of people don't realize, work is very social. Not until you stop working in an office do you realize, that little coffee clutch talking about, the show you watched last night, whether it was Game of Thrones or the baseball game, it's a very social environment. And now all of a sudden you're secluded. If you need interaction with people, you're not going to get it. Unless you can have some other quality of life thing. So one is you have to get the right person. Next, how do you set up the whole training process? Because again, many of us, including myself, are old fashioned and used to, in classroom type of training and lectures and that stuff. And now it's all virtual. And again, the technology is there, but you have to really think about, how do you make that happen? And the most important is just the whole communication and I hate to use a buzzword, but employee engagement of, how do you make people who are remote feel part of the company, that you're using the right tools, whether it's, video or Jabber or chat or whatever, making sure that they're, engaged and everything. So, I think a lot of companies throw at home out there to say, hey, look, we're going to do it because, again, it's a thing to do. It's business continuity and we can go to a whole new workforce. But one of the struggles is the companies, I'm not sure if they step back and say, now I got to take all these policies, processes, and practices and tweak them to work for a remote workforce, which again is a little bit different.
It is, one of the things that so I used to kind of manage a virtual workforce, not necessarily in a call center, but we would have like a pizza party and we would actually deliver pizza to their house, things like that you have to make the kind of investment that, I mean, you're probably still spending almost the same amount of money, and they think it's special. They don't have to, go down to their kitchen, open their fridge and eat leftovers for the day and just have some kind of chat session set up or a conference call set up, and carve that time out because you're right. Building that, morale builders and things like that, team building, employee engagement, the more fun they're having in, keeping an instant messaging window open up so, somebody can get pinged easily to say, hey, I just had a call, blah, 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 what would you have done? Things like that just replicate what you would have done in a physical office. You just use technology out there to, build that culture.
It's almost like, again, I have a client who's actually, I'm working with them on a work at home best practice concept. I'm one of my recommendations is take your in-office supervisor and track everything they do during a day on 5 minute increments. And everything they do for every 5 minutes, say, okay, if that person is remote, what do I have to do to make that happen? So if I in the first 15 minutes of my day, I'll just walk in saying good morning to everybody who's sitting there. Okay, now think about that. How do you do that with your remote workers? So every activity a supervisor or a leader takes, just dissect and say, what do I have to tweak? And maybe sometimes it's nothing, or sometimes it's not but again, really think through your day and your activities. And the other piece is, I wonder, again, if you're a leader or a supervisor, what are your skill sets to manage a remote workforce? Again, if you're the type of person who thrives on face-to-face to sit down with the agent and say, let me give you feedback, and now you have a remote workforce, how do they do? I mean, can they relate to the remote? So again, it's not like what do you do for the agents, but what do you do for the leadership team and make sure you have the right people in place because some people may not work well then. And that's okay. Not everyone's cut out for everything.
Well,
But
and I, yeah, because I put in place using Skype for Business, and the biggest resistors of that were the CEO and the vice president. I said, okay, guys, we're all using this. Even if you're in office, they're using Skype, but there's a lot of remote workers out there, and it's so easy just to like type in their name and say, hello there, and it's, and you've got a population of millennials out there, and that goes up to, I think, now age 40, so that doesn't seem so young to me anymore, but, you know, it's like that's how they're used to communicating. They have no issue with that, and you've got to step up and, you know, and adopt those same behaviors.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and again, you know, we're kind of laughing at, you know, things are changing, but, you know, you think about the whole contact center business hasn't changed in a lot of ways. I mean, if I go back over time, you know, a lot of the stuff was, you know, I believe there are two components to the contact center. One is the supply and demand. You know, that's the mechanics of it, is making sure people are there at the right time. And that's workforce management. But the second group, part of me, is how do you motivate a large workforce, and I'll say diverse because everybody is different, to and how do you appeal to them? And the issues, you know, we dealt with when we were, you know, early in our leadership days are the same issues as they are today. You know, how do you keep people engaged?
Yeah.
How do you keep people, you know, not showing up to work, not attriting? I mean, all these things are the same issues that were there 30 years ago.
Yep.
It's the same. You know, I wish I had the answer to these problems. I'd probably be a lot richer. But, you know, I don't. And I guess that's why we're all doing consulting work also. The good news that keeps us in business. But it the problems are the same. It's just that, you know, the parameters and the rules of the game have changed somewhat. But it's the same stuff. It's really fascinating when you step back and go look at a presentation you saw 30 years ago, and it's all about attrition, absenteeism, and motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, sounds familiar to me.
Sounds familiar, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. You know, what incentives can I put in place? How do I, you know, because the nature of just that industry is, you know, they're not the highest paid people, you know, in the office. But yet they're the most watched and monitored out of anybody. You know, and, you know, you've got to feel for them because it's like, that's not an easy job, you know, and, you know, they've got bills to pay, you know, and just like everybody else, you know, they're probably, you know, from paycheck to paycheck, and yet you've got somebody just hanging over your head all day long, you know, watch, what are you doing, what are you doing, what are you doing, sign up for your break, sign in from your break, you know, all those things that just, you know, doesn't give them independence or even let them think for themselves sometimes. So that, and you're right, that's it's even more so than I think before, because technology has enabled managers to really monitor them, everything, you know. So it's almost gotten a little hands like, hey, we're adults here. Can I be treated like an adult? And but that goes back to, I think, culture too. You know, is your culture set up to allow for that?
Exactly. And the good news is some companies are starting to get it, you know, whether they have more flexibility on their shifts, you know, eliminating AHT, average handle time, from, you know, the individual performance variables. But again, those companies are probably in the minority. You know, I still think the majority of the companies still, you know, will monitor AHT at an agent level. To me, it's a manager issue, not an agent issue. But the OPEX is still there. But there are some companies, and I think they get the better reputations of just, you know, stepping back and saying, these are people, you know, they're like you and me. You know, again, I look back 20 years ago, and people, you think about it, the agents are actually tethered to their seats. I mean, with wired headsets, you are physically tethered. I mean, what loss of human rights do you have? You know, that's probably the worst one of them all, if you really think about it. And, you know, and again, and now I can chuckle at it, because when I'm thinking back in the days, I used to be responsible for contact center and call center and contact center, like going, wow, that was really terrible.
But now, I guess for my last question here,
sure.
I don't know if it's just a trend I'm seeing, but I'm seeing more companies really deciding whether or not to go offshore versus nearshore or onshore. Do you see it kind of moving backwards, where you see more people not going offshore?
Yeah, well, again, I think that the trend to go to, you know, India, the Philippines has decreased, especially India. You know, there still are, you know, language barriers. I don't care, you know, how much we want to fool ourselves with that. There's still a language issue, and customers are used to that. Nearshoring has gotten more popular only because of, you know, again, accents, language has gotten better. You know, the rates are better. I'll be honest with you, most of my clients are domestic here, and I think, you know, as they use the concepts of virtual call centers and some of these other things, they're realizing that they can save money those ways if they can get, you know, more self-service, more automation. So I think, you know, what I'm seeing companies is to save the money, rather than just picking up a 400-person operation and sending it to, you know, another country, is how do we take that 400-person operation, squeeze it down to 300, because if we have self-service technology and a desktop, and then, you know, so the cost is going to be the same, but now I have a domestic workforce which, you know, communicates, you know, better. And again, I'm not saying the agents here are any better or worse than anywhere else in the world.
Right.
But it's a communication issue. And it's also, you know, line of sight type of issue for a lot of companies, being able to see it and kick the tires sometimes and go in and see what happens in the contact center. So the offshoring again, it's coming back. I mean, it got a very bad rap in the beginning and well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think a lot of companies when they offshore think that, okay, I'm going to send it offshore, I don't have to watch it anymore. You know, I'm going to send it to company ABC and they're going to manage it. And again, if any of us who've run a contact center, even if it's your own contact center domestically, you can't just let it run by itself. You have to, you're still responsible for it, you have to visit it. And I think that was one of the problems that these companies, you know, they said, I'm going to send it to India and let it run. And you still have to
I have like a country manager or whatever that I can speak to and trust that they're doing what they need to do. That's true. I appreciate your time today, and I know our audience really enjoyed listening to you.
My pleasure.
And,
it's been a lot of fun, Nancy.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on again because you're just a wealth of information, I'm sure our listeners out there will like to hear more from you. So I hope you'll be back.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Nancy. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.